The sweet spot is back. We had to miss last week to a bit of sickness, but we are back. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer raring to go, looking ahead to the Texas Open this week, the final event before the Masters. And we'll also look back on three dramatic tournaments that took place last week. First of all, though, Steve, the all-important question, how are you feeling?
I feel good. I mean, yes, it was a shock to me. That's the first time I've been off sick since I joined the company in the year 2000. I don't know if you remember, you very kindly gave me a week off many moons ago for a mental issue. I'd just been dumped and I was too sad to work. Do you remember?
I don't remember that, mate.
But I've never been off sick for a physical issue in 22 years working for the Racing Post. So I did my best to keep that streak going, but just could not move.
What do you mean you couldn't move?
I tried on the Monday morning. I gave myself a late fitness test because I really, really wanted to come back. It's a triple header, and you know, I'm excited to get about the triple headers, but I couldn't move. And I temperature was just ridiculous, and leg cramps, and then tonsillitis. So I do apologise for missing, but I've had a heavy dose of antibiotics. I really, really, you know, she threw 8 pills a day at me. And now I feel fighting fit, so it's almost good to get that out of the way before the Masters. Now, you know, come back strong for major season.
You still look quite ruddy. Is that just the lighting in the shed, or are you?
I suppose I'm still taking the pill, so I might be a bit pasty, but I feel fantastic. I feel like it's done me good, and yeah, I can't wait for major season.
No, it's going to be exciting, isn't it? Now, be honest here, okay? Because you know what it's like when you miss out on three events. And a lot of the golfers that you quite often tip contended or won, do you think you would have had a winning week? Be honest with yourself here.
Well, I think I would have had one winner out of three. Yeah, I mean, I was getting all excited about the triple header. I would have lost a lot of money on the each way trebles and each way doubles and that, because I would only have had one. But I mean, that would have been a profitable week. Yeah, I mean, I'm 95% sure I would have had the chef. You know how much I love the chef. And I mean, he'd had only one previous spin in that tournament and he finished runner up. And he was on the wrong side of draw at Sawgrass. So yeah, I've done the debrief as I've come in on Monday, and I just can't think of a reason why I wouldn't have had the chef. But yeah, the comfort blanket is that I didn't. Yeah, I wouldn't have had Ewan Ferguson, and I wouldn't have had Chad Ramey. So yeah, I can take that.
And also, all's well that ends well for Racing Post readers, because good old Super Sub Wilco came off the bench and he tipped the chef, didn't it? 16-1. So fair play to Wilco.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just seeing nothing but positives. Yeah. And you know, illness is a great sort of perspective generator, isn't it? So no matter how, you know, gutted I was about missing Scheffler, just to be feeling normal again is just like, I'm just like cock a hoop about that. So,
I'm glad. Talking about doubles and trebles, Steve, I messed around. I didn't have your advice to go on. So I freestyled and I messed around. I did two players in each tournament in some doubles and trebles. And guess which two I had in the world match play?
Did you have Scottie Scheffler and Dustin Johnson?
No, I had Scottie Scheffler and Kevin Kisner, and nothing to go with them. I mean, how about that?
That is heartbreaking, isn't it? I know a few punters who do that tactic of just having doubles, because it can get very expensive if you have loads of singles. It's an expensive game to be in. I really feel for you there. I don't think there's anything worse in the betting game than what happened to you there.
These things happen. I only did it for small stakes, so it would have been nice, but what can you do? But I mean, it's incredible, that stat, isn't it, that Scheffler has gone from never having won on tour to being world number one in 6 weeks. It's just been an astonishing sequence, and obviously he'll get inducted into the Racing Post Hall of Fame if we ever do one, because he's now, we tipped him for all three wins, didn't we? So we love him, don't we, the big rugged jawed 25-year-old.
We do. We adore the chef. I mean, I know you're a big gridiron fan, aren't you? I mean, yeah, on Super Bowl Sunday, he woke up on Super Bowl Sunday, which seems like only yesterday to you guys, as a PGA Tour maiden. And as you say, he's now won three times. I mean, he's rocketed to world number one. Only Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth needed fewer starts as a professional to become world number one. So it's, you know, really illustrious company that he's done. He's only 25 years of age. You know, he said in his interview afterwards, he doesn't feel like the world number one, because it's happened so quickly. He's very honest assessment. Yeah, there's nothing cocky about him. He doesn't feel like the number one.
He's got a lot as well, Steve, hasn't he? It's just his game, it's everything about him. And unlike Johnny Rahm, his temperament's great as well, isn't he? Just got that nice little sort of Ernie Els sort of semi grin on his face all the way around, isn't he?
Yeah, lovely measured character. And I, you know, he doesn't feel like number one. It's hard to identify a complete standout now, is it? You wouldn't say he's miles better than anyone else. There just seems to be like a little collection of five or so that are very, very close in ability wise. But long live the chef. Yeah, long live the chef.
Did you follow the action avidly, or did you take a week off?
Yeah, I followed the action when my body allowed, you know. Sunday I threw myself into all of it. Yeah, I'll be honest, I was desperately hoping Sheffield didn't win on Sunday. I was cheering on all the others.
You've got to cheer the paper. You've got to cheer the paper tip, surely.
I didn't know the paper tipped at that point. What? I was just I had no idea. I was just cheering on that. I knew that I would have been on the chef, so it was just sort of selfish reason. So I apologise for that. But
I think that Ewan Murray called in the karma police to make sure that Kevin Kisner didn't win, because did you hear that point where he apologized on Kisner's behalf for the spitting? He said, "I feel I must apologize for Kevin Kisner's spitting," and because I mean, Kisner is it's revolting. It looks like he's actually vomiting rather than spitting. Just see it, it's horrible. Yeah, and he actually makes a virtue out of it. He kind of brags about it, because someone showed me a tweet he sent last year, and he said, "I'm delighted to be on the President's Cup team." And someone replied and said, "Well, I hope you won't be, you know, disgracing the team by spitting on the fairways and greens like you do." And he tweeted back, "I'll be spitting." He's actually proud of this revolting habit.
Yeah. I don't understand where the pride comes from. I mean, in this day and age, you don't want to be spitting anywhere, do you? You know, we're all trying to control the pandemic. And I don't think spitting is helping anyone.
Another thing, Steve, that I've got to get from my chest, not really golf related, but if you watched a lot of that tournament, that Rolex advert, I mean, my goodness me. You know the one where someone sort of reads out that ludicrous, sort of pretentious rubbish. I mean, I started overanalyzing it, as I do, and I was trying to work out whether the person who wrote the copy for that really believed in it and kind of presented it to Rolex, you know, in a slideshow saying, you know, "We believe that the terminology we've used will really convey the majesty of the timepiece and all that." Yeah. Or whether he just thought, "God, they're going to buy this old nonsense. You know, surely they're going to see through this. It's just a load of rubbish." But it just drives me mad. I literally can't watch that advert.
No, I understand. I've had enough of that. But I mean, how much is a Rolex? It certainly doesn't make me consider buying a Rolex.
It makes me consider smashing a Rolex to pieces, possibly. But
that would be why. How much?
We're very anti-timepiece anyway, aren't we?
Yeah, I wouldn't pay fiver for a watch, let alone however much they are. I've honestly no idea. John Daly used to have loads of Rolexes, didn't he? He used to sing about all my exes have Rolexes. So that's all I know about
Rolexes. There's more to life than Rolexes, isn't there?
There really is, isn't there? Yeah, I mean, I've got. You could offer me one for 20 quid, and I suppose in a trading capacity, I should accept that. But no, if I wasn't there to sell it on, I just wouldn't spend 20 quid on a Rolex. Yeah.
I think, right, let's look at the other tournaments then. Down in Punta Cana, we had Chad Ramey, who's a player you've mentioned in dispatches a couple of times, 29-year-old. He broke his duck in fairly reasonable fashion, didn't he? I don't think there's too much kind of ongoing evidence or points of interest from that tournament, but he was 55-1. Well done if you got him. What do you think of Chad Ramey?
I think you've made the most important point. He's 29 years of age. I mean, he's no spring chicken, is he? I mean, he won on the Corn Ferry Tour last year. He's made his breakthrough as a rookie. But yeah, I think he's a solid player. I'm not very excited about him. I think the most exciting aspect of the Corrales Punta Cana was seeing Rasmus Højgaard finish on a PGA Tour leaderboard. Yeah, Højgaard finished sixth. That'd do a great boost to his confidence. So I think Højgaard goes from strength to strength. Ramey's solid player, but yeah, don't go overexcited.
They made a big point about the fact that Ramey apparently practices on a very modest, kind of shabby municipal 9-hole course, apparently. He doesn't even have facilities near him. So it's a bit of a sort of rags to riches story, I suppose. But and then what else do we have? The Qatar Masters, didn't we? And Ewan Ferguson, I think it was about a month after his heartbreak in the Kenya Open. The magical went a bit wrong for Ewan Ferguson. They blew a lead, didn't he? And he was absolutely distraught. But it just shows you shouldn't write off people when they throw a lead, because, you know, a month later he's come out and in very resolute fashion, very windy conditions, he got the job done there. And I think he was 200-1, Ewan Ferguson. Is he a player with a future?
Well, it's interesting. As you say, he had a 4-shot lead in the magical, and then carded a Sunday 76. But if you listen to his interview afterwards, he took it incredibly well. He admitted that he was nervous as hell and he would learn from that. And next time he's in that situation, he would be better. And, you know, talk about backing up those words. Yeah, three starts later, makes his breakthrough. I mean, he only had the lead for two holes, chipped in on the 16th, but that par birdie finish was really impressive in a tight finish, really windy. So yeah, all credit to the lad. I was really impressed with how he held it together over the last couple of holes. I mean, I don't know where he's going to go from here. He's mid-20s. He's got a bit of potential, but I hope the aforementioned Ewan Murray, if Ferguson ever makes it big, he's got some middle names to go out there. Ewan Murray, you know, he likes the middle names, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, he does. We got
Ewan McKenzie Stewart Ferguson.
Oh yeah, really, that's good. Just in case anyone's not sure what we're talking about, when Ewan Murray, who obviously really, you know, it's all very earnest and serious. And if a player wins a major, he'll say Nicholas Alexander Faldo or whatever. He loves to reel out the middle name. Yeah. So, yeah, if Ewan Ferguson wins that, it'll be there all day, won't it? And obviously he shares the same first name with him. Okay. Anyone in behind catch your eye for good or bad reasons?
Well, good readings, Marcus Kinholt. Nice to see Marcus Kinholt playing well again, because he's had a few health problems. I don't really know about. Epilepsy has become a bit of an issue for Marcus Kinholt.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's been dealing with his epilepsy and lost his form for a long way. It took some time out. But, he really good back nine on Sunday and tied for third place. So I'll be delighted to see Marcus Kinholt back. He used to be one of my favourites. And then I think we need to discuss our favourite poll.
Oh my goodness, Adrian Morong. I thought it was going to, your neighbour was going to be yelling and dancing around the streets, but
the flags were hanging out the window. I mean, it just goes from the sublime to the ridiculous, doesn't he? He hits some amazing golf shots, and then he hits some like absolutely howlers, didn't he? And he made two double bogeys on Sunday and tied for third. It was another one that just got away.
Missed an absolute tiddler. He missed one of the shortest putts I've ever seen.
Yeah, he makes howlers, yet still finishes banging it. So yeah, one of these days, we'll all be celebrating with our Polish friends. But I don't know when.
Oh, well. Right, then, that was last week. There's nothing else to add. Should we look ahoy?
I think we need to, yeah.
Okay, then, right. We've got two tournaments this week. We've got the Valerio Texas Open. And then is it the first female major of the year, Steve?
Very much so, Jean.
Hello, back on the Cokes, I see. That didn't last. Well, it did last long, actually. You had 3 months without.
It lasted till the illness. I felt so bad last week. I had to fall back on an old crutch. So hopefully for 1 week only, I bought a multi-pack.
Did it feel good, that first one?
Yeah. I just needed, so I was coughing Lucozade and Diet Coke to try and give me some sort of spunk. I just couldn't move. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it, when you can't move. I mean, yeah, people deal with much worse than I have. But yeah, it really gives you an appreciation of health, doesn't it, when you get unhealthy.
So you were like Tommy Shelby in Peaky Blinders last week when he had his first glass of whiskey after giving up for so long.
I don't watch that, but
I don't watch Peaky Blinders.
No, I'm not. I don't like anything set in the olden days. Is that set in the olden days?
Well, but I mean, it's not Downton Abbey. I mean,
No. Whenever Nicholas like suggests something to me, I say, is it set in the olden days? Anything not current, not interesting.
Really? Yeah, what about the future? See, I can't watch anything in the future. I can't watch anything like space or anything that can't physically happen. I can't have.
No, I just like staying present. it's staying pretty. It's the power of now. Yeah. Power of now. Yeah, two separate things.
I think you'd like Peaky Blinders.
Look up Eckhart Tolle, by the way, if anyone's.
Oh, there. You're always going about Eckhart Tolle. Yeah.
Just stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. So right, go on.
What's happening this week, as far as the moment goes, is the Valerio Texas Open. As I say, it's the final tournament before the Masters, which takes place next week. Very excited about that. Do please join us for the sweet spot when we'll be looking at that one in depth, obviously. But for this week's tournament, let's have a spin through the betting. Rory McIlroy, 8-1. Would you trust Rory at a single figure price? We'll find out in a minute. Last year's winner, Jordan Spieth, is 14s. Corey Connors, who got to the semi-finals last week, 18. Hideki Matsuyama and Abraham Answer are both 20. Bryson DeChambeau, 28. And it's 30 bars. So it's kind of it's a tier two tournament, I suppose you could call it, Steve, couldn't you? And it's the Texas Open. Whereabouts in Texas?
I think it's a tier three tournament. It's the Oaks, because, well, I don't want to get embroiled in that. You know, remember our old friend from Star Sports who used to Glenn.
He used to give a tournament rating, didn't he? I actually don't know it's a bad idea, that a tournament.
No, I think it's a very good idea.
It gives people an overall feel of the quality. So what would you give this out of 10 on the Glenn Day rating?
Out of 10, I give it a sort of six. It's not great. Yeah, we're at the Oaks course at TPC San Antonio, Texas. 7,494 yards, par 72, four par fives. Greg Norman design, has hosted since 2010. In recent years, it's been made a bit easier. Shorter rough, widened fairways. 20 under par and 18 under par have been the last two winning scores. And there was a Korn Ferry Tour event played here in between those two PGA Tour events in 2020. And 16 under par was the winning score there. I've heard that they've added half an inch to the rough this time, but good weather forecast, should be plenty of birdies.
So we're looking at power players, are we?
Yeah. I think power players and putting stats are very important, because in the last sort of 5 or 6 years, every winner has putted the lights out. So yeah, an all round package.
Okay, right then. How many selections have we got?
Three selections.
Oh, just the three. Who is the headliner?
The headline selection is someone who's been drifting with the bookmakers ever since the market opened, and on the exchanges. I really must urge punters to go and have a look at the exchanges as well, because Rory McIlroy, 8-1 with the bookmakers and drifting, 11-1 on the exchanges, being matched at 11-1 in the exchanges. Nobody is interested in McIlroy this week, on the very simple theory that he's entirely focused on the Masters and won't be able to concentrate. I just don't see it that way. And more importantly, Rory McIlroy doesn't see it that way. He's obviously got his most important tournament of the year next week. There's no getting away from that, going for the career Grand Slam again. And he's spoken about how he tries to distract himself in the lead up to the Masters. He desperately tries to get his mind off Augusta. There's a lot of noise that surrounds McIlroy before the Masters. The Grand Slam story is relentless. So his strategy this year has been to change his schedule. He skipped the match play last week, playing in the Texas Open for the first time since 2013. And there's no better way for McIlroy to get the Masters distraction that he craves than contending for the Texas Open. He's not here to just go through the motions. He said that. He wants to have a winning chance on Sunday. And the lack of quality in this field, you know, can we talk about what level it is. There's not much superstar quality in this field. If McIlroy's got his game face on, I think he'll be in the thick of things throughout. You know, Hideki Matsuyama, Bryson DeChambeau have got fitness issues. They probably are here just to get some pre-Masters reps in. Jordan Spieth, aside from the sort of pitch and putt Pebble Beach Pro-Am in February, he's been very unimpressive this year. Corey Connors played 7 rounds last week in the match play. It's a tough ask for him to follow that with 4 good rounds this week. I just don't see many threats to McIlroy if he turns up with something close to his A game. He's having a good year. I mean, he's been solid for most of this year. 12th in Abu Dhabi, 3rd in Dubai, 10th in the Genesis, 13th in the Arnold Palmer, made that great start at Bay Hill, got frustrated with the course setup. He was on the wrong side of the draw at Sawgrass, 73, 73, 73, 66. Dustin Johnson, the only player in the Sawgrass field who outscored him on the Sunday. I think McIlroy's playing at a level that not many in this field can get to. And this course suits him better now than it did in that 2013. That's his only appearance in the Texas Open, 2013. It was tighter back there, more rough, and he finished runner-up. He finished runner-up in 2013. More room to attack 9 years later. I think he goes one place better. This is the same course form package that the Scheff offered last week. You know, one previous appearance, finished second. Scheffler went 2-1. I think McIlroy goes 2-1. And I just want to say one more thing. I know you get frustrated when I go on a long...
I don't get frustrated at all, mate. I'm loving it.
I've got one more thing to say. I think it's very important. Yeah, this is not the first time. Yeah, McIlroy's played the week before the Masters 4 times in total. The Houston Open used to be just before the Masters. So he's had 3 Houston Opens, 1 Texas Open. You know, he's tried everything. You know, he's tried this tactic before. He's tried going to the Masters really fresh. He's tried going to the Masters off a tournament week. But there's one thing he's never done. You know, he's desperately looking for the answer. You know, we all want McIlroy to win the green jacket. There's one thing that he's never done. He's never arrived at the Masters after a win. All right, so this could be the missing ingredient in this infuriating Masters puzzle. You know, let's try something different. Rory will be fully aware of that fact. He's tried everything. Let's try something different. Let's go to the Masters off a win. Maybe that's the answer.
Okay. Wow, excellent stuff. Steve, just one more point, if I may, on McIlroy. With my untrained eye, or just sort of my impression of McIlroy these days, let's say, is that he'll let you down at some point in the final round. He'll suddenly smash it into the water or do something mad. Is that fair? Is that, you know, he's not going to grind it out anymore. I mean, I just worry about that.
Well, not that long ago, CJ Cup, Colin Morikawa up his backside, finishing like a train. CJ Cup closing holes, such a measured performance from McIlroy, just grinding out par, par, par. Great course management. Yeah, that wasn't long ago where he did the opposite of what you're saying there. He was really impressive out down the stretch in the CJ Cup and repelled, you know, one of the best players in the world to win that. McIlroy's mantelpiece gives you the answer to your question. Yeah, you'd love to have that mantelpiece.
I would. Yeah, it would need a particularly strong RSJ underneath it, wouldn't it, with all that silverware on it, I should think.
It would. What's he won, 30 PGA Tour events? I love this drift this week. When the prices open up, well, that's fair. And then the drift started. People love whittling. I love whittling down. It's hard whittling down fields. Yeah, you end up with a big long list sometimes of potential contenders. Everyone loves a whittle down. It's such an easy way to whittle and just go, oh, McIlroy, no, Grand Slam next week. You know, he can't focus on the Texas Open. But listen to the man himself. He wants to.
Okay, brilliant. You make a very, very strong case for Rory McIlroy, and you've only got two supplementary selections. Who are they?
The next best is Abraham Answer, sweet spot regular, 20-1. Hometown event for Answer. He was born in Texas. He lives in San Antonio. He practices regularly at this venue. He's got a solid record in the Texas Open. This week, I think he contends in it for the first time, seriously contends. There were many positives for Answer to take from the match play last week. He'd been having a quiet 2022 campaign. He signed for Callaway over New Year. So he had that period of adjustment, getting used to some new equipment. Aside from eighth place in the Saudi International, he hasn't been appearing on leaderboards. But last week, he was back swinging with confidence. He said how great his swing felt. He was unbeaten. He was unbeaten in his group, beat Bubba Watson, beat Webb Simpson, halved with Brian Harman. And then, an unbelievable scoreline in the last 16. It was an early start for Answer. It was such an early start on Saturday for Answer. He didn't have any breakfast. I don't know if you found out, but he teed up in the last 16 match. Didn't have any breakfast. Had a quick cup of coffee on the way to the first tee. Yeah, maybe he should never have any breakfast ever again, because he went and then dished out the old dog license. Colin Morikawa. I mean, on a single cup of coffee. That's an incredible. That's the performance of the week for me last week. Yeah, Colin
Can
Morikawa.
Can you explain the dog license quickly to viewers, please?
I think you're best to. Yeah, it's something to do with the currency. Yeah, go on, you do.
But well, back in the day, if you had a dog, you had to have a dog license, and it cost seven shillings and sixpence. I suppose I don't know what that is. Probably about 44p. But anyway. And then so you know how people have all these, golfers love these little sort of golf sayings, don't they, bits and pieces. So if you beat someone 7-6, you say you beat them by the old dog license.
Yeah.
It's one of my favourites, that one.
It's a beauty, isn't it? But yeah, Morikawa must have been stunned. You know, Abraham Answer's woofing his way up the 18th hole. Yeah, it's just a scoreline I just could not believe. Classic, always the way, isn't it? Yeah, golf knocks, brings you up, knocks you down. He lost his next match, but to an informed Corey Connors. You know, Corey Connors went on to finish third in the tournament. Answer could leave on today with confidence restored in his game. Short trip home to his San Antonio base. You know, he made his PGA Tour breakthrough last year in a WGC. Since you, I think, a second win this week, entirely feasible.
Jolly good. We've got McIlroy, we've got Answer, and we've got
Davis Riley. 60-1, Davis Riley, general 50-1. I think there's so much scope for improvement to come from this lad, destined for greatness for a long time. Two-time Korn Ferry Tour champion in 2020, almost made his PGA Tour breakthrough last time out in the Valspar Championship. I mean, everyone finally got to see what I've been banging on about with Riley. I mean, you must have loved that golf swing. What a quality quality golf swing. Effortless power. Made a mess of that fifth hole in the final round, didn't he? Carded a snowman at the fifth, yet still ended up in a playoff. I mean, a really gutsy.
Did he try and play it down the opposite fairway and just ended up in all sorts of problems, didn't he? He ended up behind a bush, and then he duffed his chip, and then he tried to take a drop. Yeah, I remember it. He recovered well, didn't he?
Well, to hold it together from there, you anticipate he's just going to collapse from there. But, he held it together superbly. And, he's just really unlucky to end up in a playoff with such a good player. Sam Burns, the defending champion, that's a tough gig to win your first event in a playoff against Sam Burns on a course that Sam Burns loves. So yeah, I was really impressed with Riley. I think he's got a massive future ahead. This is an easier assignment than the Valspar, and he tees up on the PGA Tour as a course winner for the first time. I mentioned that one-off Korn Ferry Tour event at TPC San Antonio in 2020. Davis Riley won that, the San Antonio Championship. Riley won it by two shots. He should be more relaxed now. That runner-up check at the Valspar, $850,000. You know, PGA Tour future assured now, and he's going to a track where he's proven. So, yeah.
I can't remember, Steve. I was reading someone, one of the tour pros, I can't remember who it was, and they said that it's just a question of when, not if, Davis Riley becomes like a breakthrough top-tier player. You know?
Yeah. Which he's good mates with Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoris are two of his good mates. I mean, they all know that Davis Riley or Mavis, whatever you call him.
Riley. Can you YouTube Mavis Riley, please, just so you know what I'm talking about? Okay, because she was one of my favourite Coronation Street characters when I used to watch it. She was a very sweet lady, but she ran the corner shop, or she was like the assistant in the corner shop, and she was just so famously indecisive. I'd say Les Dennis used to do a very well-known impression of her. And her catchphrase was, "Oh, I don't know." So I think Davis Riley seems like he's got a little bit more kind of a bit more get up and go than Mavis Riley.
Okay, well, I'm happy to call him Mavis if you want going forward. Okay.
Just have a little look on YouTube, won't you? Talking to YouTube, guys, we would love to hear your comments. Let us know who you fancy. Thank you very much for all the goodwill wishes you bestowed upon Steve last week. Very kind as always, and it's great to be back on the show. So Steve's three for the Texas Open are McIlroy, Anser, and Davis Riley. What price is Mavis?
Mavis is at 60-1, and I'd like to advise punters to have larger bets if we get a late Thursday tea time off any of them, because the worst of the winds this week, Friday afternoon, ideally we'll avoid them. I don't think there's going to be a huge draw bias, but there could be a slight draw bias. So if you get a late tea time Thursday, have bigger bets.
And for someone who isn't as experienced at golf research than you, how would someone do that? They have to go on the PGA Tour app and then click on tea times. Is that right?
PGAtour.com, schedule at the top, then Texas Open, and then tea times.
Okay, and so you're looking for someone who has gotten a lot, because basically the groups go out in two lots, and you want someone in the later starters on the Thursday, because they'll be out on the Friday early before the wind blows. That's right, isn't it?
Yep, that's our plan, yeah. But I think all the three can overcome whatever draw they get. I don't think it's going to be a huge draw bias.
All right, mate, let's look ahead to the first women's major of the year. It's the Chevron Championship. Starts on Thursday. Here are the latest prices. 5-1, Jin-Yong Ko. 11, Lydia Ko. 12, Brooke Henderson. 16, Lexi Thompson. 16, Athaya Titikul. And 18, Bar. Where's this taking place, Steve?
California, the first of the LPGA majors. Mission Hills Country Club, the famous Dena Shore tournament course. And it's actually the last time this major is going to be played here. There's a lot of emotion surrounding this event. A lot of people are up in arms that the new sponsors are taking us away from the Dena Shore. Because this used to be the Kraft Nabisco Championship.
Oh, right. I was going to say Chevron seems a bit of an unfamiliar tyre. Yeah. That's a tyre brand, I think, isn't it, Chevron?
Is it? Yeah, I think it's something to do with cars, isn't it? But yeah, it was a Kraft Nabisco Championship. Then it became the ANA Inspiration in 2015. And now it starts life as the Chevron Championship. I mean, even names. Yeah, you imagine them renaming the Masters or the Open Championship. Yeah, this is a major. This name changes. And now the course that they've all fallen in love with is, you know, Chevron want to move on to pastures new. So, yeah, a lot of emotion around this.
But, is Dena Shore a geographical feature or a person that the course is named after?
I think that's a person.
Is it?
Yeah, I think that's a person. Yeah, it's a good question. While we're Googling Mavis Riley, we'll also Google that. I can tell you it's a 6,763-yard par 72. It's hosted since the old Queen died. And I can also tell you that no American has won this major since 2015. And I suspect that streak will continue this week. You've got Nelly Korda. I know you love Nelly Korda. She's going to be missing the event. She's recovering from a blood clot in her arm. The
Oh my goodness.
poor old Nelly.
Blimey. That's must have stressed Maverick McNeely out, mustn't it?
Well, it probably did, but Danielle Kang's Maverick McNeely's
All
girlfriend, so
right.
it's probably more worried if it happened to her.
Oh yeah.
But we're all hoping that Nelly gets better. But Lexi Thompson is the other American I want to mention. She's had a very long winless run. She's another American short in the betting. June 2019 was the last time we saw Lexi in the winners' enclosure. So yeah, I think that American, the lack of American success will continue this week. I've got a New Zealander and a Thai.
Oh right. Well, let's have your two selections then. Who's the first one?
It's Lydia Ko, who was a real prodigy back in the day. She was world number one at the age of 17. She was the youngest player to win on the LPGA Tour. She won twice as an amateur on the LPGA Tour. She won a major at the age of 18. It all happened so quickly for Lydia. 4 years basically winning everything. From 2017 onwards, she's had less success. But she won in April last year. She won the Saudi Ladies International in November last year, and she won again at the end of January this year. So it looks like the old Lydia Ko that we all love is returning, and a third major title could be coming on Sunday. She won this event in 2016, and in the last 2 years, she's finished sixth and second. She signed off last year at Mission Hills with a final round 62. So most of my love is for Lydia.
Okay, so we've got Lydia Ko, and we've also got who's the tie?
Patty Tavatanakit. Patty Tavatanakit at 20 to 1, the defending champion, only 22 years of age, still improving, the 2021 Rookie of the Year. This major is her only LPGA Tour victory. So it shows how much she loves Mission Hills. She was low amateur in the 2019 major at Mission Hills when it was the Anna Inspiration. And she's been in solid nick this year. Nothing worse than 26th place for Tavatanakit this year. So, yeah, I think the alternative to Lydia Ko is the Bangkok Bombshell. As I like
Is
to call
that
it.
her is that her ni official nickname, or have you just christened her that?
I've christened her that,
You
yeah.
have, haven't you? Bangkok bomb. Is she definitely from Bangkok?
She's the Bangkok
Oh.
bombshell, Patty Tavatanakit. Yeah.
Wow. Oh yeah, the Bangkok bombshell. That's brilliant, isn't it? I like that name.
I did
What do I
actually
get
look at her
you with
official
your
nickname. Her official nickname is Meow, but I couldn't find out why. So I thought I'd better create a new one. I'm not going to start calling her Meow because I knew you'd ask why she called Meow.
Well, if
And
that's
then.
her nickname, that's her nickname, isn't it? Maybe
Yes.
she just loves cats.
You
She's
can
probably
put.
got a nice, like, kitten driver head cover, I would imagine.
You reckon? Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, you can Google till the cows come home. We've got, a, but I Googled for a good half an hour yesterday trying to find out.
Meowvis
If anyone knows that, yeah, get this is one for the commentators.
Yes.
I love our commentators. If anyone out there knows why Patty Tavatanakit is called Meow, I'd love to
Yeah.
know. I'd love to
But yeah,
know.
the Bangkok Bombshell is a
The
brilliant
Bangkok
name, isn't
Bombshell's
it? I like
incredible.
that. Anyway,
Yeah.
get you with your love for the women's game. You used to poo-poo it, didn't you? What's
Well,
changed your tune?
when there's only one men's event, you want something else to hang your hat on, don't you? So I mean, I'll get involved in have a little look at the chevron, but I don't, the male game will always, I'm not a daft sexist, but the male game will always be my focus.
Okay, jolly good. Right then, Steve, thank you very much. Let's reiterate the tips. The Valero Texas Open.
Is it the Valero? You seem to have added an I in there. Is
Oh,
it just
sorry, Valero. Yes, you're
Valero? Yeah, I
right.
just
Yeah,
wanted
yeah.
to. Yeah,
Yeah.
the Valero. We're going to go with Rory McIlroy, Abraham Answer, and Mavis Davis Riley.
Okay, and in the Chevron Championship.
Lydia Ko and Patty Tavatanakit.
And obviously, both the front two in the market are called Co, so make sure you back Lydia rather than Jin Young.
Well, yeah,
Lovely.
you've got to respect Jin Young as well. Yeah, I mean,
Okay,
I
will.
didn't want to put up a 5-1 shot really, but
No.
yeah, she's won six of her last 11 or something crazy.
Righty ho. Okay, Steve. Well, anyway, it's great that you're back in full health. Have you had a tincture since your illness, or are you holding fire on that?
Well, that's the crazy thing about antibiotics, isn't it? They don't work apparently if you have an if you have tinctures. So
Alcohol,
yeah,
yeah.
10 days of no tinctures. I'm looking forward to a tincture at some stage, but yeah, a 10-day stretch without them. I mean, the worst thing about those pills, I don't know if you've had them, for you've got to have them on an empty stomach, Bruce. Like,
Do you?
An empty stomach. Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was the opposite of what.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Do.
Normally is the opposite, isn't it? Which is fine because you can scoop whatever you want. But so I had to space 8 pills, two, 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 in an empty stomach. I think I've lost about a stone in weight just because.
Oh my goodness.
Following doctor's orders, you know. But
But you're feeling fine again. Have you got anything fun lined up in the next week, or is it just head down, master's research?
It's head down until July 17 now, really, because it is major season. Yeah, yeah, major. Yeah, they've congested the major season. It's basically you've got 4 months of solid graft.
Well, okay, and just looking ahead to the Masters, Steve, obviously you don't want to know who you're going to tip. That would be very odd, wouldn't it, to name your tip now. Is there anything unusual about this year? Is the weather okay? Will the azaleas be in full bloom? I mean, that seems to be most people's obsession with it, doesn't it?
Me and Rory McIlroy are both focused on the Valero Texas Open.
Okay.
I have no idea what the weather forecast is for the Masters. I'm focused on the Valero Texas Open. Yeah, a winner in the Valero Texas Open is worth as much as a winner in the Masters.
Definitely.
So, yeah, we take each week as it comes, my friend.
Beautiful. Okay, then, Steve. Well, listen, like I say, we are back next week, God willing, and hopefully we'll also have some very exciting news for the final round of the Masters. So watch this space for that. In the meantime, have a great week, bet sensibly and hopefully successfully. And we're back next Tuesday for another sweet spot.